Shalom to all. Today's office about Masadaf Kuflam and Chas, and we are starting Kuflam and Zayin Obeyes about four lines off from the bottom with the words Amrav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Mars Merim Sar Basar Yaakov Maisha Hernish Shamash should have an Aliyah. And the Gemara tells us Amrav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda says B'shem Shmuel Hakasim Chasav LaAcher, a person who writes over his Nechasim to another person. Va'amar Halah, the fellow who's supposed to be receiving them as a gift says Ef Shibahen, I don't want them. Kana, he's kind to them. Va'filu Amid V'tzaveach, even if he's standing and yelling, he's protesting. I don't want these Nechasim. Tough luck, they're his. Now Rav Yechon says Loi Kana, he's actually not kind to them. And Rav Ramal explains, there's no machlekes over here. One is where he's yelling from the offset. That's what Rav Yechon's talking about. If from the beginning, when Reuven's trying to give matana to Shimon, and he has everything written down nishtar, and he's handing it over to Shimon, Shimon's protesting, I don't want this. A guy who hates gifts lives. I don't want you giving me these things. So he's not kind to them, and they're officially hefker. But the case that Rehuda was saying, B'shem Shmuel, is referring to where he already received them, he took them, and afterwards he says, you want to know what? I don't want them. Well, it's tough luck on him. He already received them. He's not able to now refuse the gift by saying, I don't want them. Everything's officially his, and if he wants, he can be mafker them. But right now, as we're holding, they're his. Now, Rav Nachman Yitzchak continues discussing this. Let's say the case was where the gifter, we're going to call him Reuven, he was mezaken them to Shemin through another person. Reuven gave the shtar matana to Beryl in front of Shemin, and Beryl was doing a kinyan on it for Shemin, and Shemin was quiet. Shaisek, he was quiet. And then, afterwards, after the kinyan took place, he says, you know what? I don't want them. So here of Machlokes Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rabbanon. The Tanya of Bresa tells us Hakazim Chasim LaAcher, a person wrote his nechasim over to somebody else. Vahiyu ben avadim, and there was avadim as part of his nechasim. Now we know that avadim aren't necessarily a good thing because the owner of the avadim, the master, has to spend a lot of money to feed them. Bamar Lo, and the guy receiving the gift says Ef Shibahen, I don't want them. In such a case, Mahayu Rabban Sheni Kayin, if the second master, meaning the guy who's supposed to be receiving them, was a Kayin, Harei Ilo Eichel Metruma, they're able to eat truma because it's considered like he owns them. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel, he tells us Kimi Chamar Allah Ef Shibahen, since the guy said I don't want them, Kvar Zochah ben Yarshim, the Yarshim already Zoich in them, meaning the Yarshim of the first guy, of the gifter, they were Zoich in them, and it doesn't go to the second guy. Now, Vavinaba, we asked on this, V'tanakama filo amin v'tzeveach, does Tanakama, this bride, so the Rabbanon, do they hold that even if the guy's yelling, he's protesting, I don't want this gift, that it's tough luck that they're his? How does that make sense? And Amar Rava, V'tem Rabbi Yechanan, it was on this that Rava, and some say it's Rabbi Yechanan, said the following, V'tzeveach mikarai, if he's protesting from the offset, from the beginning, D'kuli amali pligi, no one argues the Laikani, that he's not kind to them. Of course he's not kind to them. He's protesting from the beginning. And also, if he was quiet originally when the gift was being given over and afterwards he tried protesting, no one argues and he is kind to them because he was already kind to them and now he's trying to protest. You can't just give up a gift like that once it was given to you. Halachically, it's yours. Keep Ligiwas. Where Reuven was mezaken them to Shimon through somebody else, through Beryl, v'shasak, and Shimon was quiet, and only afterwards he started protesting. Tanakama holds midashasak from the fact that he was quiet when the kinyan was taking place through that other person, kaninu, so he's automatically kind to them. And if he's a kayin, these avadim are allowed to eat truma right away. Now, why is he protesting and yelling? Mahadur hu dekader bay? He's just trying to be chayzer because he realizes, I don't want these avadim. I'm going to have to pay crazy taxes. I'm going to have to feed them. No one wants avadim. And that's why he's yelling. But it's tough luck on him because he was already kind to them due to the fact that the kinyan was made for him in front of him and he didn't say anything. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, what he did at the end is mechiach. That proves what his intention was in the beginning. And that means that he didn't want them from the beginning. The only reason why he's protesting now is the summary figured to himself, since it's not by me, it's still by the other guy, nothing's come to me yet, why should I protest? I'm only going to protest once it actually comes to me. And so here we have the machlokes. I'm going back to discuss matna shchemira. We have a raisa. Shchemira sha'amar, if a shchemira said as follows, tenu masayim zuz l'plaini, give 200 zuz to Reuven, v'shlesh meis l'plaini, and 300 to Shemin, v'arba meis l'plaini, and 400 to Levi, einoim remuinum say, kol kan mishtar zoicha, that whoever's first in the shtar, he gets that money first, and that first we pay 200 to Reuven, and then 300 to Shimon, and then 400 to Levi. It's all considered like one large amount of money owed to all three of them. And lefikach, therefore, yatz al shtar chayv. If a shtar chayv comes out against this fellow, the shchimera, after he dies, Yehuda shows up and says, "Hey, he owes me money. Gaivim mikulam. We're going to collect money from Reuven, Shimon, and Levi because they were all considered to have received their gifts from the shchimera at the same time, and therefore all their money is equally meshubed to this bal chayv." Aval Amar, however, let's say the shchimera said as follows: "Tenu masayim zuz l'plaini, give 200 zuz to Reuven." V'achrav l'plaini, and afterwards give to that guy. V'achrav l'plaini, and after him give to that guy. So over here, he clearly differentiated. He split them up into separate time zones, if you will. So then, Imrim, we say, call kaidim shtar zaycha. Whoever comes first in the shtar, he zaycha, and therefore we first give to Reuven, then to Shimon, then to Levi. Lefikach, therefore, yatzal shtar chayv. If a shtar chayv comes out against the shchiv meira, gaivim in achrayin, we're going to collect from the last guy first, because he's the last guy to be zaycha in the chasim, and therefore his money is the most meshubid, if you will, to the baal chayv. Ain Loy, if he doesn't have enough money, Gavim Shalfanov. So then we collect from the one before him, which is Shimon. Ain Loy, if he doesn't have enough money either, Gavim Shalfanov, we collect from the one before him, which is Ruvain. We have another case of Shchemira. Toner Abana Branson tells us, Shchemira Sha'amar, Shchemira said as follows, Tunu Masayim Zoz Laplani B'ni Bechar Karoy Loy, give 200 Zoz to my firstborn son as is fitting to him. That's a lashon that was used. Naitlan, he takes them, Vinatlas Bechairasai, and he also takes his Bechaira, which means not only does he get his extra Bechar portion, he also gets his 200 Zoz. However, Im Amar, if the father, the Shchemira, had said, Bechairasai, give him 200 Zoz as his Bechaira, so then he doesn't get both gifts, but nonetheless, Yadel Yaina, he still has the upper hand, Ratzon Naitlan, if he wants, he could take the 200 Zoz that his father had said, or Ratzon Naitl Bechairasai, he could take his firstborn portion. If the Bechaira is more valuable than the 200 Zoz, he would take his Bechaira. If the 200 Zoz is more valuable than the Bechaira, then he gets the 200 Zoz. In this case, if the father was specific, he said, Bivchairasai, I want him to have this 200 Zoz as his portion of Bechaira. Now, obviously, if it's less than the Bechaira, the father can't take away this firstborn portion from his son. He has no halachic rights to do that, and that's why we say, Yada al Yaina, that the son has the upper hand. Okay, something similar. Shchemira Sha'amar, if a Shchemira said, Tunumasayim Zoz Laplanis Lishti, Karoila, give 200 Zoz to my wife as is fitting for her, Naitla son, Vinaitasis Ksubasa. She takes the 200 Zoz and she also gets her Ksuba. Because over here, the Shchemira is obviously trying to just give her a gift of 200 Zoz. However, Im Amar, if he said, Biksubasa, that she should get the 200 Zoz as her Ksuba, so then here as well, she doesn't receive the 200 Zoz and her Ksuba, but nonetheless, Kovlam Chazam Bez on top, Yad al Yaina, she has the upper hand. Ratzon Naitla son, if she wants, she could take them, she could take this 200 Zoz, or Ratzon tells Ksubasa, she could take her Ksuba if it happens to be more than 200 Zoz. And lastly, Shchemira Sha'amar, if Shchemira said, Tunumasayim Zoz Laplani Bal Chayvi Karoiloi, give 200 Zoz to this fellow whom I owe money to, as is fitting for him, Naitlon Vinaitlas Chayvai, the Bal Chayv gets that 200 Zoz and he also gets to collect his Chayv, Vimamar. However, if the Shchemira said, Bechayvai, give him the 200 Zoz as his Chayv, Naitlon Bechayvai, so then he only gets the 200 Zoz as his Chayv and he doesn't get anything extra, because that was clear from the Lashon of the Shchemira. Ask the Gemara, hold on one second, Mishum the Amar Karoiloi, Naitlon Vinaitlas Chayvai, just because the Shchemira in the first Lashon said, Karoiloi, give him 200 Zoz as is fitting for him, this Bal Chayv not only gets the 200 Zoz, but he also gets to collect his Chayv, Vidama Karoiloi Bechayvai Ka'amar. Maybe the Shchemira, specifically in the case of the fellow whom he owes money to, is simply saying, give it to him Karoiloi because I owe him this money. But not that he's giving this Bal Chayv of his an extra gift of 200 Zoz. And on this, Amram Nachum, Nachum clarified, Amr Lihuna, Huna told me, Hamani Rabbi Kiva, he, this is really Shitas Rabbi Kiva, the Dayak Lashna Yusera, he's Medayak, an extra Lashon that's used. Then now we have Mishnah that says, and we had this earlier in Masechta, and we had said that when a house is sold, a bar that's inside the house is not included in the sale. And that's what Mishnah tells us, Vlaisa Bar Vlaisa Dos, Afal Pisha Kosav Loi Umk of Ruma, a bar and dos are not included in the sale, even though the depth and the height of the house written, meaning specific dimensions were written in the shtar, still a bar and dos are not included in that because they have a separate tashmish, they have a separate use. And if the guy buys them, he has to buy a pathway to them. That's Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Where the Racham and the Racham say, ain't Sarach Likachloi Derech, he doesn't have to buy a Derech. Umayda Rabbi Kiva does agree, Bismancha Omar Loi, that if the seller said as follows, Chutz Me'elu, except for these, She'ain't Sarach Likachloi Derech, that he doesn't have to buy a Derech. Now, why is that? Well, because this is an extra Lashon. He didn't have to say Chutz Me'elu. Of course, they're excluded. It must be that we learned something from his extra Lashon. Alma, we see from here, Kiva Deloit Sarach, since he didn't have to say it, Vika'amar, but he said it anyway, Litfui Milsa Ka'asi, it's coming to add something extra in that particular situation. It means he doesn't have to buy a pathway to them. Hachanami Soto over here, when the Shchemira said, give him 200 Zuz, Karoiloi, Kiva Deloit Sarach, he didn't have to say this. He didn't have to say Karoiloi, Vika'amar, but he did say it anyway, Litfui Milsa Ka'asi, it must be that he's coming to add something on, which means he must be he's trying to say, I want you to give him 200 Zoz, and that's not part of the Chayv, he can collect his Chayv separately. And we continue discussing Shchemira. In this case, it's not Matnas Shchemira, where he's giving something away. We're going to see what it is. Torah Rabbanan Baraita tells us, Shchemira Sha'amar, Shchemira said as follows, Mana Yeshli Eitzel Plini, I have a mana by that guy, meaning that guy owes me money. Ha'idim Kaisim, the Edom are allowed to write this down, Afal Bishayin Makirin, even though they don't recognize this, meaning even though they don't know this to be true, they're still allowed to write this down in Nishtar. Lefikach, therefore, Kshu Gaiva, when he collects, meaning when the Yarshim of the Shchemira go to that fell to collect their money, Tsar Chlavi Raya, he has to bring a Raya that the guy actually owed his father money. Tivra Meir, that's Rameir's opinion. Vachamar Lacham say, Ain Kaisvin, they're not allowed to write this down, Elam Kain Makirin, unless they know it to be 100% true. Lefikach, therefore, when it was written down, it must be that it's true, and that's why, Kshu Gaiva, when the Yarsh goes to the fell to collect, Ain Tsar Chlavi Raya, he doesn't have to bring a Raya, because the Edom would never have written it down unless it was checked out to be true. Amar Nachman, Nachman says, Amar Lihuna Huna told me, Tana, there's a Brisa that was taught with the exact opposite Shita. Rav Meir says, Ain Kaisvin, it's not allowed to be written. Vachamarim Kaisvin, the Chum say, it is allowed to be written. And Vaf Rav Meir Loi Amar, even Rav Meir himself said that it's not allowed to be written, El Mishon Bezentayin, only because of a Bezentayin, a Bezin is going to make a mistake. What's the problem that we're going to run into over here? We're afraid that if the Edom write this down in a shtar, even though they they didn't check it out. They didn't determine whether or not the Shechemer was actually owed money. The Shtar is going to be taken to a Bez Din, and that Bez Din might make a mistake and say, oh, if the Edom wrote it down in the Shtar, it must be that it's correct, and they're going to force the person to pay up, even though it was never checked out. And that's the only reason why Rav Meir says, don't write it, because again, we're choshev for Bez Din Tain, we're afraid a Bez Din is going to make a mistake. However, Amar Rav Dimra Adar says, Hilchasat Halacha is ain't choshev for Bez Din Tain. We do not have to be afraid that a Bez Din is going to make a mistake. Ask the Gemara, why should we do Rava? Why is this any different than Rava's case? Amar Rava tells us, ain't chalitzin elin kin makirin, no dun chalitza, unless they know the parties. We know that when a man dies and he doesn't have children, so his wife either has to get yibam or chalitza from one of his brothers. And so Rava is telling us, a chalitza is not allowed to happen in Bez Din unless they know who this woman is and who the brother is, and this is a case that chalitza could happen. And also, if ain't manin elin kin makirin, no means allowed to happen unless they know what's going on over here. What's miyun? So we know that a girl's like Tano, whose father died and she's being raised by her brother or mother, is allowed to be married off by them, and that's in order to prevent her from going onto the streets. However, this marriage is only midrabanan, and before she becomes a gedayla, she's allowed to do miyun. She's allowed to just walk out of the marriage, and she doesn't need to receive a get. She doesn't receive a shtar miyun, proving that she did miyun, and therefore this miyun has to be done in front of Bez Din. But again, she doesn't need to receive a get. And that's also what Rav is telling us, that Bez Din is not allowed to have a miyun done in front of them and write a shtar attesting to that fact, unless they know what's going on. Lefikach litfor, says Rava, kaisun get chalitza v'get miyun. Edim could write this document of chalitza, write a document attesting to the miyun, v'alfi shein makirin. Even though they don't know what's going on, since it was done in front of Bez Din, Bez Din knows what's going on and everything's okay. And over here, we're going to read the parentheses. My time of why is this? Why is it that a chalitza or a miyun is not to be written down? Elim ke makirin, la mishum de chashin le Bez Din tayin. Isn't it because we are chashish for Bez Din tayin? We're afraid that this shtar is going to be taken to another Bez Din, and they're going to allow this woman to get remarried based off of the shtar that comes from a different Bez Din. And so we see that we are chashish for Bez Din tayin. So our answer is, it's actually not true. Bez Din basar beidino loy daiki. A Bez Din after another Bez Din is not going to check into what's going on. So for example, if a woman shows up in Bez Din in Muncie with a document from a Bez Din in Lakewood showing that she got chalitza, the Muncie Bez Din is not going to look into what the Lakewood Bez Din did, and that's why it has to be that the Lakewood Bez Din is not going to do it unless they're makir and they know what's going on over here, because again, one Bez Din is not going to check into what another Bez Din did. However, Beit Din Abasar Edim Daiki, a Bez Din will check into what Edim wrote, and that's why in the case of the Shchemera saying that guy owes me money, Edim are allowed to write it down even though ain't makirin. They don't actually know if the guy owes the Shchemera money, because once the shtar comes to Bez Din, Bez Din is going to say, okay, we have the shtar that was written by Edim, but who says they checked into it? We're going to do our due diligence to make sure that the Shchemera was actually owed money. Once again, a Bez Din is not going to check into what another Bez Din did, but a Bez Din will check into what Edim wrote down, and therefore not chashish for Bez Din Tayin in the case of Shchemera. Let's just learn one more Mishnah and a small Gemara, because really continuation of the previous Mishnah of the father giving his property to his son while he's alive, but he still retains the rights to the payrais. So the Mishnah tells us, the father, while he's still alive, he can detach the produce and he can give it to whomever he wants. As we said, he still retains the rights to the produce. And whatever he leaves over detached, that belongs to all the yarshim, which means when the father dies, if he had already detached produce from this property before he died, so that produce gets split up by all the yarshim and does not get taken by the son whom the property was written over to. Now the Gemara makes a deal off this last part of the Mishnah. Talosh in Mechaber Loi. It's only what was detached by the father before he died is what's given to all the yarshim. But if something's still Mechaber, it's produce that's still attached to the tree, that's something that's going to be taken only by the son who receives his property and not the other yarshim. However, the problem with that is tells us that whatever is still attached is evaluated for the Lekeach. This is referring to this very same case where the father wrote his property over to his son, again retaining the rights to the produce, and the son sold the property, and as we had said in the previous Mishnah, the Lekeach only has rights to the property once the father dies. Now Lekeach has rights to the property and the produce, and this Brisa was taught on that case that when the father dies and there's fruit on the tree, we have to evaluate how much that fruit is worth, and the Lekeach has to pay that value to the son. He does not get to take that produce. He only gets the property itself, but not the produce which is currently on it. And that's clearly not like our Mishnah. On this, Amar Ula Ula answers, Loi Kasha is no stira, Kama Benoi Kan Ba'acher. Our Mishnah is talking about his son. This Brisa is talking about somebody else. Hoyel V'daita Shel Adam Kreva Itzel Benoi, since a person das is close to his son. In other words, when the father gave this property to his son, he wants his son to receive this property clearly as something extra over the other children or over the other Yarshim. And therefore, he wants his son to receive as much as possible. And that's why when the father dies and there's produce still attached to the trees, the son gets to keep that produce. But when the father gives it to the son, he never intended for the son to sell it to somebody else, and therefore when the son did do so, when he sold the property to the acher, to this other guy, the father never intended for that acher to also receive the produce that was attached to the trees when he dies. And that's why if the father died with produce still attached to the trees, the Brisa tells us, that we have to evaluate how much that produce is worth, and the lekach has to pay that value to the son, because the father was never mocking the produce to the son in that manner that he's able to just sell it to somebody else. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with another Mishnah going on to discuss a different topic of Yerusha. For now, everyone should have have a wonderful day.